Welcome to the Source Refresh Small Business Supply Chain Podcast. I'm your host, Chandrika Venkatraman. Join me as I talk to small businesses from across the world to learn about their supply chains, their support systems, and what keeps them moving. In this episode, I'm chatting with Andrew Arbogast, founder and CEO of Arbo's Cheese Dip. Andrew is an Army veteran and first-generation entrepreneur. Andrew has a background in procurement, and in this interview, he shares how he leveraged this skill set in building his business from the ground up. Hope you enjoy the conversation.
Source Refresh Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Chandrika.
Before we launch into the interview, I would absolutely like to thank you for your service as Flight Mission Commander. We are so honored to have our first vet on the show.
Oh man, that's exciting to hear. It brings back some memories too.
So can you tell us a little bit more about you, your background, and your business? And do tell us where we can find your products.
Sure. I'm just thankful to be able to have the opportunity to join you today. So I am out of Memphis, Tennessee, and I've spent a lot of time, I would say traveling the U.S., but it's been pretty centered around the Midwest and mostly the South. But not having lived in my hometown, Memphis, for a while from high school, college, and serving in the Army for 10 years, I finally made it back in 2018. And I worked at a corporate job here in Memphis. And this past year, I had an epiphany and realized I wasn't happy and wanted to start a business using my dad's cheese dip recipe. And it went from a thought to an actual real product being sold within about 5 months at a local grocery store.
Wow, that's a real quick turnaround.
Yes, it happened very quickly and gave me the confidence that I needed to believe in myself that I could actually accomplish this. And it's just been steady progress with some setbacks, but a very long trajectory ahead. But we've made a lot of headway thus far.
Congratulations. So where can the average consumer find you guys?
So Arbo's Cheese Dip is sold in local stores in Memphis, but our biggest success as of late was landing a Kroger deal in their Delta and Nashville divisions that span across 5 states and 100 stores. And those locations, it's all of Tennessee, Arkansas, Kentucky, Mississippi, and some of Alabama. And we also launched with Central Market, owned by HEB, in all of Texas.
Awesome. So let's dive into a little bit more about your supply chain. So what have been a few supply chain challenges that you've encountered since you started?
I think scaling is always the first thing that comes to mind as a challenge. It still is, and it was when I started, but the problems change. And then they also come back. And what I'll explain is this. I started making this in my kitchen at home, then a restaurant, then I eventually found a co-packer. Well, finding a co-packer is very difficult, especially at this stage. But I was able to find a manufacturer that not only manufactured his own product, but he brought on small businesses. And so I knew that my expenses were going to increase. And at the time that I started this, I look at it as this was the best time, but it was in terms of cost and supply chain, it was already a challenge and it got worse with, inflation now, but even before then, the pandemic and all of the trucker issues and the fuel costs rising, my costs just continued to increase, but it was a matter of getting supply. And I use an ingredient that's a major brand, and they looked at me as, you're a nobody. We are going to support, you know, our long-term, high-spend, high-volume customers, and anything we have left over, we'll send your way. And, you know, the same thing for cheese. It was one of those where my struggle was finding a lower cost but higher, higher value, better, higher quality product. And so, I mean, this all took probably about 6 months. And while I'm doing all of this, I was able to get into some distribution, and that gave me a better idea of like sales volume and actually working with a distributor. What I didn't realize is, you know, going into this, I was just so excited that anyone gave me the opportunity. But on the backside, you enter into some contracts that I couldn't believe how shocked I was when I was told that if a product that I sold to a distributor / grocery store didn't sell, I would be billed for that. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, there's no way. And that's the way the industry works. So I had to factor in a lot of backside expenses for disposed product in locations that it didn't move as quickly as it did here in the Memphis area.
So, you know, you made a very interesting point here. You know, you talked a little bit about, you know, buying your branded ingredient, and, you know, you talked about how you're actually a smaller player for them. That's a very interesting dynamic that I'd like to understand a little bit more about. So how do you, like, as a small business, what's your approach? And, you know, I should probably mention for the benefit of our listeners, you do have a background in purchasing. You're a qualified purchasing person yourself. So would love to hear your approach to supplier identification, supplier selection. How do you do it as a small business when you're actually dealing with much larger players?
No, that's a great question, and there's so many answers I have for that. It's one of those where when I started this, I had this vision of my brand growing nationally. Now, that could be in 5 years, it could be 10, could be less than five. But the way I approached suppliers was I used my experience as a buyer to legitimize myself, because if I didn't have a lot of things like social media and my marketing intact, you know, I'm just a nobody. But I would use a lot of the press releases to say, hey, I'm an up and coming cheese dip manufacturer. I'm a veteran. You know, can we strike a deal? And if it's, hey, this is our cost, you know, to any customer, then I would go back to, okay, well, if I were to increase my volume, where are those price breaks? And leverage not only the volume, but their competition as well. And that's what I did at International Paper as a buyer, is trying to get the best value. It's not always the best cost, right? It's looking at the supplier history and their reputation. So that has been a major component of it. But then when you look at the top tier brands, I knew I was paying high dollar for the name. And so I needed to find a more someone tailored to manufacturing, because I was going through, you know, Sysco or US Foods for my ingredients. I wanted to go direct. And so that was that allowed me to not only cut out the middleman, but focus on getting a true, you know, tried and true cheese dairy manufacturer working with me directly. And that's when I found my vendor, and it allowed me to save 40% on cheese, which is my biggest cost, right? So I immediately locked in some good discounts. And I've also kind of set the stage of, hey, look, I'm expanding. The cost, I understand, is, you know, I'm buying 10,000 pounds of cheese at a time. At this rate, once I get to 20,000, I'm looking for another break, right? But as all of this is going on, it's like my way of manufacturing is I outsource everything. that has allowed me to scale as rapidly and almost, like, I hate to say too fast, but I approach these obstacles where I need to be able to deliver, or my volume is incredibly high, and then I'm backing into that, like, okay, how can I get to this point? Because I hate to say fake it till you make it, but it's one of those where that's how you grow, is you're saying, yeah, I can do this, and it forces you to solve those problems, like, where am I going to store all of my corrugated packaging? If I'm ordering 75,000 containers at a time, how long is it going to take me to burn through those? And figure out, okay, I need to place another order because it's a 10-week lead time. Same thing for seasonings, you know, 4-week lead time. It's all of these that you're just juggling at once. And but there's really not a book I've read or anything that I've read that's helped me. It's just like going through it has helped me gain some experience, not only as an entrepreneur, but being on the sales side and the operations and the logistics. Like, I've done everything now. I wish I could probably rewrite a resume just from my 1 year of launching Arbo's G-Step.
If you wouldn't mind talking a little bit about, you know, how you moved from a distributor, you know, when you decided to go direct, right? I think a lot of small businesses might really feel that I don't have the scale. How will I manage the logistics of this, right? Like, you know, when you start going direct, doesn't your freight cost really increase because you're probably doing all those LTL shipments, getting your product in? And then you touched upon the warehousing, right? Yeah. How are you gonna manage all of that? So what steps did you put in place? How did you think about all of that as you went through moving direct?
That was the most critical aspect of the business. And what I have is a story. I'm the face of the company. I'm good at making relationships. I can sell the product. What I am very bad at is managing the cost structure and the finance side of it. As a buyer, yes, I did learn about margins and markups. That was very helpful, but that doesn't mean I'm good at math. So I brought somebody in that was very a CFO of a company who was helping me out, and we built out this cost structure. I mean, literally, we down to the penny. Pennies they go so far when you look at scale. So something may be 27 cents. My containers, I was paying like 80 cents. And then I found a way to reduce it to 27 cents. And that doubles, you know, or it goes to double digit margins when you cut out things like that. So we looked at it from everything from the corrugated packaging that it gets shipped in, the containers, the lids, the ink on the containers is a cost, right? And seasonings, cheese, other ingredients, and freight. Freight was going to be a big factor. And we built all of this based on, you know, okay, you buy a pound of cheese, it's going to cost this. Well, what is that cheese equate to when you put it into a 16-ounce container? Because it's not 16 ounces of cheese, it's 8 ounces of cheese plus the cost of all those other ingredients. So we just really got into a lot of detail, and we factored worst case scenario for freight, right? So at its worst, you know, we were looking at freight being around 60 cents per container. So we took a very conservative approach to our cost, and at the end, it ended up being like 31 cents a container. Well, there's almost 30 cents of margin that we didn't anticipate getting that we are now getting. And when you build this out, you look at a forecast. Okay, this is my current business. This is my current revenue and volume. I want to grow to X. And in order for me to do that, my costs are going to go up, right? But my volume for sourcing is also going to increase, which is better discounts as well. And so trying to make all this math work together, if you have the formula set up correctly, you can actually project out to when you will be profitable based on where you want to go, right? So if I just said, I want to, you know, start this business, I want to get into the 100 Kroger stores that we have. Yeah, sure. I could become profitable much quicker. If I stopped right there, but who wants to stop there? If you're doing this, you want to go, you know, large scale. And so I build out, all right, if I get into Kroger, 100 stores, let's say we get into another warehouse in Q2 in 2023. Well, then that's going to add X to my projections and my volume. And so your costs are going to go up. But at some point, you know, the volume aspect of it, because you do have, you have to factor in your margin as part of that, you will start to see yourself become profitable. And so what, I mean, I couldn't have done this myself. I had a very smart guy help me with this, who still does help me. And that allows me to focus on growing the business rather than all of the small details, which are important, but have someone else helping with that is critical.
So that sounds like some very well-managed spreadsheets.
Yes.
So you know, you talked about supplier identification, supplier selection. What tools do you use? How do you go about scouting for vendors? Is it good old-fashioned Google?
Oh my gosh, you took the words right out of my mouth. That has been my success with a lot of things. I was fortunate to have a cheese manufacturer reach out to me earlier on. And so I got an idea, okay, this is what it looks like cost-wise doing direct business with a dairy manufacturer. Well, then I found the other big ones and I had them ship me samples. And I experimented with their products just as I would with anything, right? And then I look at cost at the same time. And I'm not just looking at only cost. I want to make sure that the product is still going to maintain the same consistency, taste, viscosity. I mean, there's so many things that go into the R&D part of it. It's almost like do that first, because what I would hate to do is find the best price cheese and then move forward, but then find out, you know, 3 months later, it doesn't maintain its consistency. So it takes time. And that's what I did. It's like, okay, let me start with this cheese, run some shelf life testing, make sure the flavor stays the same at 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, and so on. And while that's doing, go ahead and start on the next one and allow time and the research and development phase to help you make a decision on, okay, am I willing to pay 10% more for this cheese company? For using this cheese manufacturer, and I like the end product better, or do I want to just save, you know, 10%? No, I mean, that's where I learned as a buyer, like best value, not best price. Getting competitive bids is very important. In some cases, you know, it's not going to be apples to apples, or they may not have that supplier may not have. So let's say I have three SKUs. I use three different cheeses. I would love to only be able to use one, but it doesn't reduce or result in the same quality product that I want. And so that means my volume is thinner with each supplier than it could be going with one, right? But those are decisions you have to make based on how you want your finished product.
What advice do you have for other small businesses who are on a similar journey?
So if you are doing this and you have an option to outsource and you want to grow, your goal is growing quickly because you're all in on this business. That's my experience, right? But let me back up. When I started this, I was still working at International Paper, and I was doing this as a side hustle. Well, there's no way I could have gotten into Kroger as a side hustle. So I had to make a decision, and it was an easy one for me, but convincing my wife to leave my, you know, reliable, comfortable job was a different one. But I went all in on it. And at that point, I could have looked at, you know, buying a manufacturing facility, but what would the curve had been in really growing this product? Because I didn't want to delay. So it was like, I had to figure out finding a co-packer that allowed me to expand quickly. You know, So that was that's the best advice I could give, because that's what's made me successful to this point. If you have a slower plan, then maybe you could make it, you know, find a commercial kitchen or whatever it is you're doing, find a way to manufacture some of what you're doing and then experiment with bringing on a co-packer for the other half, right? And see, hey, does this make sense for me to go full-time co-packer? That'll free up my time so I can go focus on, you know, working on the business rather than in the business. And so I, you know, just to close that, outsource, you know, find value, because your time is just as valuable, right? And if you're willing and able to pay for a lot of the or, you know, smaller, big things, it's going to help you grow quicker.
We will absolutely love to keep checking in with you from time to time on your story, on your journey. All the very best for, you know, how quickly you've managed to go from idea to delivery. And, you know, we hope to see you continue to grow.
Thank you. And I would be remiss if I did not mention that don't go it alone. You will not be successful alone. And I really think that everything happens for a reason, and connecting with you a couple months ago has given me a lot of perspective, not just, you know, for being in the retail business, but supply chain and procurement as a whole. So honored to be on the podcast, but also even more honored to have you as a strong, I don't know if I'm your client, but I've learned so much from you in such a short time. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can get more information on today's episode in the show notes or at source-refresh.com/podcast. To hear more episodes, please subscribe to the Source Refresh Small Business Supply Chain Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from.